no formal swim training, I don't own a bike, and I've never run farther than a mile on a set of prosthetics. And I said to myself, I believe God wants me to do an Ironman. Hi, I'm Scott Rigsby. I'm a double amputee and a triathlete. Well, I was 18 years old. I was working a summer job with two of my best friends from high school. We were working for a landscaping company, and we were sitting on the back of this pickup truck. An 18-wheeler had been following us and decided to pass us from behind, so he moved over, and when he did, his vehicle clipped our vehicle. I got knocked off. My legs got lodged in between our flatbed trailer tire, and I literally bounced up and down the road over 328 feet on the pavement. For the next 3 years, from 1994 to 1997, I'm in pretty much a drug-induced coma and addicted to prescription medications. One day I had this conversation with a pastor friend of mine, and he talked to me for about 2 hours, and through my drug-induced haze, the only thing I can remember him saying is that that God had a plan for my life. That's really when I finally connected with God. I poured out all my hurt and my anger, and I cursed God for everything that he possibly was worth. He simply said, I'm glad you're finally being honest with me. It was December 2005. I was at probably the lowest point in my life. Even though as a Christian, I was lost. I was wandering in a desert of despair. And so I just said a simple prayer. I said, God, if you'll open up a door for me, then I'll run through it. About a week later, I was in a bookstore, and I looked, and I saw this female amputee on the front cover of Runner's World Triathlete magazine. And Sarah, who had lost her leg above the knee, she had just completed the Hawaiian Ironman. And so right then and there, I knew that my purpose, I felt like that God wanted me to do the unthinkable. He wanted me to run an Ironman. I had this dream, but there were insurmountable odds. What I was trying to do was unthinkable. But what I wanted to do was change the world. I wanted God to use my ordinary life. I wanted to place my ordinary life in the hands of an extraordinary God so he could do extraordinary things. There's a verse in the Bible, and I'll paraphrase it. But it says, I count everything but loss compared to the the knowledge or the worth of knowing Jesus. And really, you know, it doesn't matter about world records. It doesn't matter about being on TV or being in magazines. At the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, it's about knowing God and it's about making Him known. And if I haven't done that day, then I've lost that day. If I haven't done that over the course of my life, then I've lived a lost life.
Such an amazing testimony, huh? Amazing testimony about a man who could persevere, a man who had a strong sense of determination, a man who had a sense of courage to take him through this chapter of change in his life. You know, we all go through changes, don't we? But do we like change? We don't like change. We hate change, especially if we're not in control of the change. But you know, life is all about change. We experience changes in life all the time. Whether it's the seasonal changes that we walk through, whether it's spring, summer, fall into winter, or our times, or even our bodies. Our bodies are constantly changing. Our cells are dying and replacing themselves. Even our hair. We have a head of hair, on the average, between 100 to 150,000 strands on our head. Some of us, a little less. But we have hairs that's on our heads, and we will actually go through a change in hair strands. 50 to 100 hair strands will fall out of our heads every single day. You know, if you're a Portuguese and a pastor of a big church, maybe a little bit more falls out of your head. But we go through that on a daily basis. Life is all about change. And when I think about change in life, I think about it as just being a reflection of the progression that life is about. We see progress and a progression of everything that happens, whether it be seasons or even little kids. Little girls, they don't stay these little cute, little pretty girls for the rest of their lives. They grow up and they become beautiful young ladies, and then they become moms, and then they become what? Guys, help me out. They become menopausal, yeah, after they've grown up. Young boys don't stay as these cute little boys. They grow up into this bundle of uncontrollable hormones in their teenage years. And as they become adults, what happens, ladies? Yeah, they stay the same, these uncontrollable bundles of hormones. They just get a little older, and then they become these grumpy old men, of course. But life itself is all about a progression of change that happens. I want to talk about a little different kind of a change, however. A change that will leave us many times frustrated. A change that will happen that will leave us angry. A change in seasons that turns laughter into sorrow. Change that turns joy into pain. A change that takes place not just in the season itself, but in the transition of seasons. See, when you think about storms that happen in life in a natural world, you have the springtime and you have the summer. You have, you know, spring rain and summer storms. But when do the most severe storms happen? You ever take a notice of that? It's in the transition between seasons. It's not necessarily in the season itself. It's when it's transitioning from spring into summer. You got the most severe storms that happen. And in life, folks, same thing happens to us. Whether it be from a marriage to a divorce, those two different seasons, things will happen, but it's in the transition, when it's happening, when you're going through the illness of a loved one, an unexpected illness or an unexpected death of someone. It's going through those transitional seasons that are the toughest times to deal with. How do we deal with them? You know, you may not understand why they're happening to you. You may not be able to figure out how in the world this merry-go-round that I've been comfortable living on and enjoying, how it suddenly turned into this freight train that's been just taking off, full of twists and turns. It's uncontrolled. How do we deal with seasons like that? There's a man in the Bible, his name is Solomon, a very wise man, who had everything in life. He had power, possession, he had inherited a great kingdom from his dad David. But although he had everything that everyone could ask for or ever want, it still didn't satisfy him. And he looked back towards the end of his life and began to reflect about seasons that he saw. Read with me at the very top of your notes what Ecclesiastes 3 says as we read about the reflection of Solomon upon life itself. Ready? Go. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. What Solomon is saying there is that God, when he created life and he laid out the progression of life, he made things beautiful in his time. There is a season for everything, folks. And Solomon is saying, as I look back on life, what I see is that life is full of contradictions. A time for birth and a time for death. A time for planting, a time for uprooting. Life is full of contradictions. And why is life designed that way? Because God didn't want life to remain the same. God wanted there to be change in life. God built in change into our lives. So the question that we got to ask ourselves is not if we experience a change, it's when change happens, how do we respond to it? See, you may not have anything to do with the change that you're going to experience or that you're experiencing right now. You may be angry about it. You may be upset about it. You may not have had anything to do with what you're experiencing, but you do have a choice on how do you respond to that change. How do you respond? Number one, would you fill this in? Change should be managed and not manipulated. God's plans cannot be manipulated. We cannot do anything to God, even pray ourselves out of a season of change. God's plans cannot be manipulated. So either we can choose to be a part of his plans or we can reject his plans. And so if God's plan for my life includes change, if God has built in change of seasons into my life, then how can I, rather than run from it or try to avoid it, how can I then manage that change? Well, what do I mean by manage? Whenever I go through a season of change in my life, I ask myself this question. How much do I really trust God? How much do I trust Him with my future? See, folks, there's a purpose in the process. Every process of life that we go through, there is a purpose for that. There is a reason for every season. Now, my question to myself is, do I trust God with his future for me? Do I trust God with his plans for me? How much do I really trust God for his timing? Or do I want things happening the way I want to time it out, the results I want to see? See, when we can't trust God, we'll put our hands into it and we'll start manipulating the situation ourselves. Oh, it's easy to trust God when things are going well, isn't it? But when we're standing there facing a storm coming at us, when we're in this transitional period between seasons and things are heading in the direction that we don't like, can we really trust God with that? Read what Ecclesiastes 7 says. Ready? Go. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Solomon is writing this because he's saying, not consider the way God does things. He says, accept it. You know why he's saying that? Because we don't accept it. If things are going bad for us, we don't like it. And we try to avoid that change. But whenever we start to avoid change and we start to do things our own way, we're starting to manipulate the plans of God. And we cannot manipulate the plans of God. Either we can bring ourselves into harmony with him and his plans, or we can run in dissonance with that. We can strike a chord that just doesn't feel right. Ever had experiences like that? You're going through something, a change in seasons, whatever is happening to you, and you're trying to work it your way, and it just doesn't feel right. That's called dissonance. There's a hard rub, and what you're saying to yourself, your inner spirit is saying, God has a plan for you. Would you just go with his plans? Why fight against it? You'll never be able to manipulate him. You cannot. He is God. Why try to make straight what he's already made crooked? Go with him on this one. You may not understand it, but you got to be able to go with him. You got to be able to trust him. That's what managing it is all about. But we hate change, especially when it's heading in a direction that we don't want. And so we begin to then manipulate even Scripture. Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You know what we say sometimes when we hit that season and it just doesn't seem to be going where we want it to go? We say to ourselves, trust in me with all my heart. Lean not on your understanding. Lean only on my understanding. In all my ways acknowledge me, and I will make my path straight. And it never works. It never works. See, little do we realize that when we begin to manipulate things in life, we begin to miss the very lessons God wants us to learn along the way. See, life is a progression. Our growth with the Lord is a progression. It doesn't just happen like jumping hopscotch from one place to the next. It's a progression over time. It's day by day. It's step by step. It's experience by experience. It's like life. You don't put a baby to bed and wake up the next morning and he's 50 years old lying in bed. Hi, Mom. Or if you want to lose weight, you don't go on a diet and the very next day you lose 100 pounds, although you pray for that. It's a progression that takes place over time, and the same it is with life. See, the best place to learn about forgiveness, best place to learn about humility, about grace, about love, is not really from the pulpit. It's good to come and hear lessons and get teachings about it, but the best classroom to learn these lessons is in the classroom of change, when you're going through the process of life. Don't circumvent the process, folks. There's a purpose in every process. There's a reason for every season. You know, when I was a judge, I've had defendants come in front of me for sentencing, and word got around in the community and the prison system that, hey, this judge just became a Christian, so, you know, go ahead and ask him for, like, a break or something. And so these defendants would come in front of me, and they'd say, so, Your Honor, you know, like, so, yeah, you're Christian, eh? So like me, you know, like, so you can forgive and forget, yeah, put me on probation and let me out of here. And I'd say to him, so you're a Christian, yeah, so I just came to Christ, yeah. And so I'd say to him, so you believe that there is also consequences for your actions? Huh? What you talking about? So yeah, there's consequences for your actions. So I'm going to put you in prison. What you mean? No forgiveness in this courtroom? What? No more grace over here? And I look at him and I say, no, you got to trust me with this because I know what's going to happen in prison. And who you are when you come out of prison will be determined by what you choose to do while you're in prison. Manage your time well. Manage your time well. Some of you might be here this morning in a state you feel like you can't get out of this. Whether it's a divorce setting, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's something that's happened to you, an abuse or a sin of your past, you feel that you're just locked in and you can't get out. God has a plan for your life, not for your calamity, to give you a future and a hope. There is a season he's going to move you into. But who you are when you get out of this transitional season will be dependent upon what you choose to do while you're in this transition. Manage your time well. How much do you trust in God? How much do you truly trust in his plans, his timing, and the purpose and the reason why you're going through this right now? I think about Pastor Roy Yamamoto, our prison chaplain. You know, God had a bigger plan for him than, you know, stealing from people and selling drugs. God had a plan for this man's life. But he knew that Roy needed to spend a time in transition in prison. And Roy, rather than manipulating the system, he managed his time well. And he learned how to read the English language by learning how to read the Bible. And through that process, he got saved. And because of his willingness to trust in God, God released him, and Roy is just harvesting fruit for the kingdom today. His prison ministry is in all of our prisons here on this island. In fact, a few months ago, you saw a video about the Saguaro prison in Arizona, where over 700 inmates gave their lives to the Lord because of the ministry of New Hope's prison ministry. And in a few weeks, Roy is going to return to the Arizona prison, and they actually are providing a baptismal font where he can go in now and baptize these inmates. It's an amazing, amazing harvest for the kingdom. I got an email from one of the wardens, and he said in his over 30 years of experience in the correctional industry, he has never seen a prison change and transform like what's happening in Saguaro. They're journaling the word. In fact, they are so changed, they named this module a faith pod. And the wardens and their staff are cooking steaks and chickens to reward these inmates for their good behavior. Wow. And so that's what's happening right now. And, you know, Roy asked me to go along with him, but I always believe that you baptize someone and you hold them underwater for as long as there's sin in your life. And so it's going to be a pretty long baptism. But you look at the fruit that's being harvested for the kingdom. Where did it start? It started because Roy, in his season of transition, managed his time well. What are you going through right now? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust Him with all your heart? See, when you can trust Him, He'll move you through that season. You'll begin to learn the lessons you need to learn along the way. There's no other experience in life where you're going to get to learn these lessons unless you're willing to walk with Him in this progression of life. Many times we like to jump, though. We like to manipulate the system. We like to manipulate results. Be careful. Be very careful. Because when you do, you begin to make decisions that are impetuous, that are premature, and they'll cause long-lasting permanent results. In that bullet, would you write this in there? Don't make permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances. A lot of times we look around ourselves as we're in the midst of all this and we say, oh, this is it. I will never get out of this. This is it. I've got to do something now. And so we divorce. Oh, I'm never going to get out of this. So we file bankruptcy or we take some action that's going to permanently affect us. Folks, if God is in control of your lives and He has the best laid plans for you still available, trust in Him. Now, you might be here this morning and you're saying, man, I'm tired of being tired. I've prayed and God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers. I've lost hope upon hope and I'm ready to toss in the towel. If that's you, here's a word for you. And I believe it's a word from the Lord. Quitting is not an option. Don't give up. Galatians 6 says that. Read that with me. Ready? Go. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At the right time. When is that time? I don't know. God knows. At the right time. Well, how many years will it take? Oh, gosh. I can't tell you that, but God knows. At the right time, you will reap a harvest. It's not that you might. You will reap a harvest. A harvest of blessing if you don't give up. See, there is a purpose in the process. Don't circumvent that process. Don't give up. Hang in there. Number two, because what you want to do is focus on your faith and not on your frustrations. Going through these seasons and these transitional moments can be very frustrating. Why does life have to be like this? Why can't life just be comfortable so there's nothing to worry about? How many of you would love to have a life like that, where there is no waves, there is nothing going on except just comfort and convenience, that you're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, and your house is in order, and your kids will listen to you, and your wives will cook dinner for you? You know, if you just want life to be at peace, how many of you want a life like that? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. You're in church, be honest. You know, we want lives to just be no fuss, okay? Just everything so-so. You know why God doesn't give it to us like that? Because He knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That once we get into a lifestyle that's comfortable, we forget Him. We walk away from Him. We do. You know, the toughest test to pass isn't the test of poverty. It's not when you don't have anything. You know, when things are going pretty rough, you kind of lean on God, don't you? Oh, God, where are you? The toughest test to pass is not a test of poverty. It's a test of prosperity. It's a test of success. When everything is going well. How many people I know of, when their business is on the fly or really, really going up, when their families are doing really well, they fall away. And God knew that about us thousands of years ago. So much so that he wrote a warning to us, Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to have them pull this scripture up on PowerPoint. And I want you to read this with me together. Ready? Go. The Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and your silver and gold increase, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. It's not, and you may forget me. Be careful, because you might forget me. What did he say? You will. You will. I've seen it happen. That's why God sometimes takes us through the desert in life. How many years did they wander in the desert? 40 years. How many of you have been wandering in the desert for 40 years? If you're married, don't raise your hand, okay? But we go through some times where we feel like, man, Lord, where are you? There's nothing around me. You know why God's leading you through that? To test you. Maybe burn off some pride that's been developing in your heart. To try and build your character from the inside out. Maybe he's doing it so that you can start to rely on him even more. To draw even closer to him. You know the purpose in life, folks? I have people asking me that all the time. Hey, you left your judgeship, you're now a pastor. How did you discover the purpose of life? What's my purpose in life? Some people will study a book. It takes them 40 days to figure out purpose in life. Some people will pray all their lives, Lord, show me the purpose for my life. It's really simple. You know what the purpose in life is, folks? For us to worship him. That's all it is. Not about money. It's not about what we can attain. It's not about what we should be doing. The only purpose and the reason why we're still here, folks, is so that we can worship him. And I think sometimes in life we get that flipped around, don't we? Lord, you better worship me. You better answer my prayers. You better give me what I want. And we try to make deals. Lord, if you give me everything that I ever wanted, then I will worship you. No, sometimes God will take us through the desert to draw us even closer to him so that we can start to fulfill the purpose of why we're here. Maybe that's why we're going through this in America today, about this economic downturn. Because God is maybe testing our hearts as America. You know, we say, God bless America. But do we really want God to bless America? Do we really trust in him? Same with our state. Same with ourselves. How much do we trust in our God? You know, my son Jared is moving up now into a different division in baseball. He's no longer a Shetland. He is a Pinto. And see, he was big cheese with the Shetland. He was the oldest kid, most experienced. And when he threw the ball, he was like the one on the mound. But now he's moving up to Pinto. And he's the youngest of the Pintos. They go up to 9 years old. He's only six. And they've been playing for a while. And so when they throw the ball, you can hear it popping in the glove. They're not throwing like lobs. They throw balls that pop. And he wanted to show that he can play with the big boys. I'm with the big boys now. And so he went out to his first practice. And he did well. He's all over the field and throwing the ball and he's catching it. Well, the second practice, he wanted to again impress the team. So he goes out there and I said, Jared, you did well the first time. I'm proud of you. So he went on and tried to do it again. But the coach was throwing ball with him. And for some reason, when he threw it to Jared, it was heading for Jared's face, and Jared moved his glove. Yeah. Everybody who saw it reacted the same way you just did. And the ball went smack right in his face. And he cried and cried, and I ran over to him, and I was so glad that God made him Chinese, because he doesn't have a nose. It's just flat. So it hit him. And I went up to him, and he's crying, and there's no blood. And he's pushing me off the field. So I follow him off the field, and I, I looked at him and he started to push me towards the car. And I said, what, you want to go home? He goes, yeah. I said, you really want to go home? And I looked at his face and it was more a facial expression of, was painful, I'm sure, but he was more embarrassed and he was more frustrated that he couldn't keep up with the big boys. And so he started pushing me to the car. And I said, you want to go home? He said, yeah. So I said, knock it off. You ain't going to go home. You're going to go back in the game. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, Jared, you got to go back in the game. See, what I wanted him to learn was that you cannot get hit with adversity and quit.
That's right.
You got to get back in there for the next ball. And he looked at me, and he was getting madder at me because I wasn't budging. But I kept pushing him and pushing him. See, he finally went back in, and he started to play, and he started to get back in, and, you know, another pop fly came, and he missed the ball again, but, you know, he looked over at me, and I said, so he stayed in the game, and when it was done, I said, Jared, I'm so happy, I'm so proud of you that you didn't quit, but number two, most of all, that you trusted your dad, that you knew that I knew what was best for you. You know, folks, in life, we're going to get hit blindsided, won't we? We'll get hit square in the face, and people around us are going to go, whoa, what happened to your family? Whoa, what happened to your situation? I thought you were a Christian. And sometimes, folks, we want to go to the car and drive home. Don't quit. See, how much are you going to trust your father? That as he nudges you back in the game, you may not like it. You may not feel comfortable about going back in there. You may have fears that are building up within you. But how much do you trust your father? Go back in the game. Romans 8:28, very familiar scripture. We know that God works all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Look at that scripture. Let me break that apart for you. It first says, and we know. Do we know? Do we really know? We know that God will cause all things to work together for good. Do we really trust that God will indeed work it for good? How much do we trust our God? We'll work all things for good to those who love God. How much do we love our God? How much do we truly love our God? You know, the best way to show love to your God is to be thankful. In fact, would you write that in number three? Be thankful and not grumble. When we experience seasons of change, many times, if you're like me, I look around and I say, why am I having to change? Why do I have to go through this season? How come they're not doing this? How come I can't have that? How come? And we go through all of these things where we grumble rather than be thankful for what God is moving us through, for what God has already given us. We overlook many times the simple things in life to be thankful about. Instead, we grumble about things we want. Read together with me again, Ecclesiastes 3, what Solomon says. Ready? Go. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? That we look at just the simple things, just to be able to eat, just to be able to enjoy what we're doing now. And never overlook the small things in life. To be thankful, that is a gift from God. See, sometimes we look around and we grumble about what we don't have. But God says, be grateful. Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Man, how many of you are thankful you have the peace of Christ in your hearts? You should be. And be thankful. Would you circle that? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, in everything you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we, about being thankful for even the little things. I want you to see a video that will forever be a reminder for me never to grumble about what I don't have. It's a video that won the best short film in the Berlin Film Festival. Over 36,000 entries were submitted. This one was chosen as the best of the best. It shows us in a very graphic way how we need to be thankful for the little things. Let it speak to your hearts. Take a look at this.
chicken, please.
Let me tell this story, you won't think this true. I have not forgotten, so I'm sharing it with you. For all the things we know, what have we learned?
We have so much, don't we? We have so much in our lives, and yet we still want more. And God will move us through different seasons, and we think, man, how come I can't have? Hey, God's given you so much. To see how a family like that can be so elated over just the little things they have. Remember that little boy's face when his mom took out some noodles and his expression? That will remain and is burned forever in my mind. To never stop giving thanks for what I already have. God has given us the peace in our hearts. He's given us life. You want to love God deeper? be more thankful to Him. You want to remember God? Look around and see what you have and be thankful. It was in the upper room where the Lord knew that His disciples were going to go through a different season of their lives. He was soon to be crucified, and the Lord knew they were going to face some changes in their circumstances. So He took a bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body. It's going to be broken for you." He took some wine and He said, "This is the blood that's going to be shed for the forgiveness of your sins." And whatever you go through in life, no matter how many seasons of changes that you may go through and you walk through, don't forget me, says the Lord. And same with us. No matter what you may be walking through right now, don't forget Him. Be thankful for who He is. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come down, and we're going to take communion this morning. As they pass the trays to you, go ahead and take a bread and then take a cup and hold it in front of you and use this time as a reflection, a time of reflection of just the goodness of God, how good He has been to your life. And then we'll come out and we'll take it together. Ushers, go ahead.
What a good God you've been to me. Your goodness and your grace every day I see. But what else can I do but give thanks to you? What a good God you've been to me. What a faithful God you've been to me. You provided far beyond everything I need. What else can I do but give thanks to you? What a faithful God you've been to me. What a loving God you've been to me. Shed your blood on the cross so that I can be saved. Give thanks to you. What a loving God you've been. What a faithful God you've been. What a good God you've been to me.
Go ahead and take the bread and the cup and just hold it in front of you as we pray. Father, you are indeed a good God. Oh, Lord, sometimes we don't appreciate that enough, do we? Forgive us for the times that we've looked more at our circumstances than we've looked at you. How we seem to be focused more on our own anger and our own frustration over seasons that we live through. Not knowing that these are the best times that we can learn the lessons that you want us to learn in life. Father, we know that you have the best for us. But Lord, forgive us for our human frailties and the way that we think and comprehend, that we don't appreciate you for all that you are. Yet you still love us, don't you? No matter what we've gone through in our past, no matter what way may have been caused to us, you love us still the same. And you call us to walk forward with you into the future and the hope, into the new season that you have reserved for our lives. And Father, as we begin to walk with you, may we never forget you. May we remember the body that was broken and the blood that you shed for the forgiveness of our sins, so we no longer have to look backwards, but we can focus ourselves on you and you alone. Grant us indeed the peace that passeth all understanding. Grant us that this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Take the bread. And now the juice. It's good to come back to the cross, isn't it? To spend time of just cleansing out your spirits, allowing your soul to catch up and find rest. How many of you are willing to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, let's be a church like that. Can we? Would you say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Amen. Would you pray with me one more time as we conclude? Father, thank you, Lord, for refreshing and renewing our spirits. May we now leave chains and transform to just be a reflection of you to whomever we meet in this world. We love you. We praise you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Seal that to your hearts now with a clap.
God, it's awesome. Nice to see you. I know we're going to be really busy, yeah? Things to do. I'll see you down there.